Have you ever wished you could be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online, a powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team just like an NFL general manager. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy owners to negotiate and sign the NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams and has tons of other cool features in addition to free agency, like a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills for free at realitysportsonline.com in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code DTC to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dynasty offseason. Welcome to the DTC podcast. This is episode 100-something. Welcome to episode 100-something. The Dynasty offseason is official. Izzy Elkafas joining me in the podcast, the Pharaoh of Fantasy. What is up, Izzy?
What's going on? Are you just going to pretend like this is normal that you're on the show now? Or
yeah, ignorance is bliss, right?
So are you announcing your comeback? Is this the comeback season?
No, I'm just going to say that you've actually paid Mosier to take lots of words clips from my previous podcasts. And he's like Frankenstein them together to record an entire show to have me back. I'm actually back, but this is just like spliced together words from previous shows.
God, that would be amazing. He is talented.
He's really good. I've actually tuned into some of the podcasts, and I think the Snackdown, the Dynasty Snackdown, was really entertaining to listen to the different snack takes that he's got.
Oh, right. Yeah, you weren't around for those. How does it feel to make your comeback to the show?
I am back. I mean, a little bit depressed today because the Vikings are out of the playoffs. A friend of ours said that it's probably better that they lose this week instead of next week and get a better draft pick, but I'm still pretty bummed. I wanted to watch them in the postseason, but now I've got literally nothing to do in the postseason except for record a podcast, which is kind of the reason I'm back. So when I left...
kind of the reason I'm back, can Mosier please put in like confetti popping right now? It doesn't necessarily need to be canned applause, just confetti popping, and then go ahead, Curly. Why are you back?
Or like the one person clapping in the audience to a joke that only he got.
Right.
Yeah, yay. So I am back. Yes, I left a few weeks ago. I kind of had life really hitting me pretty hard. I wanted to catch up with family activities, and work was really busy with the holiday hitting, and I was working on finishing my basement.
And Red Dead Redemption came out.
Yeah, and we also had a very viable replacement for me on the podcast, Nick Whalen, returning at the time that I made the decision. And now all of that has changed. The off season has kicked in. We're able to record on Sundays now, and Mondays I'm always alone with the kids, so it's really impossible for me to do that.
You left your family.
Sundays is much easier. My wife's at home. The basement's finished. Nick Whalen has left. So now I had to really reevaluate things. I felt horrible that Izzy was literally surfing around on, what was the dating website? eHarmony, you said you were surfing around on looking for a...
eHarmony. Yeah, I got an email from eHarmony saying if I had any matches. Or they said I did have matches. I had to sign in to check them out.
And they're all like butterfaces, right?
They're all butterfaces, all of them.
So they had just a bunch of butterfaces. So I felt a little guilty. For the listeners that have been with us for a long time, know Izzy and I have been buddies for gosh, like 16, 17 years. So I felt bad about abandoning Izzy on an island by himself, surfing eHarmony. So I'm back. Everything's changed. In fact, I will be back for the off season, and we will find a permanent host for the in-season duties since I'll still be having difficulty recording during the season. So that's kind of going to be the rotation going forward, Izzy. What do you think?
I'm really excited. I did not want to have to scour eHarmony for a co-host and having multiple guests and doing the whole thing. The issue is having somebody wanting to record with me full-time.
You should forego posting your profile pic. That would probably help you.
Yeah. Well, right now it's just a camel as my profile pic. Maybe I should change it.
I mean, I think that's probably accurate. That's why it's funny. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the stuff here. So, yes, I'm back, and somebody else is joining us today as well. We've got a co-host for the first time joining us, Dynasty Outhouse. He's president and first member of the Trade Addicts and host of the Trade Addicts pod. Dynasty Outhouse, I literally don't know your name, so I'm going to have to leave you to introduce yourself, Dynasty Outhouse, unless that's your legal name.
It might be soon. I don't know.
Well, the show has been complete shit since Hurley's been gone, so we had to get the outhouse in.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what you do. My name is Russ. How's it going?
What's up, Russ?
Nice to meet you, Russ.
At Dynasty Outhouse on Twitter, I am one half of the hosting of the Trade Addicts podcast with my boy Brian Haar at Brian Haar FF. The pod account is at Trade Addicts Pod. That's really about it. I just spend way too much time on Twitter. That's my qualifications.
There you go. We got to fit some trades into our outline, Izzy. We got Trade Addicts Podcast
and
Dynasty Trade Calculator coming together for a massive trade podcast today. So, I mean, we'd be fools not to talk trades, right?
Yeah, we would. We should actually talk about the trade that Russ revoked from me. When he made it.
I wussed out hard on this trade.
Should we lay the groundwork of how this all came?
Yeah, okay.
I took over Hurley's spot in the Ultimate Podcasters Dynasty League. Hurley wasn't going to return, and I said, well, let me just take over the team, and I'll run it from here. And then Dynasty Outhouse, I believe, took over an orphan as well.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
And he was down to the bare bones. He just had a bunch of draft picks. I can't remember who he took over for, but the team was just full of first-round draft picks, essentially, but really nothing else.
Oh, and yeah. That's right.
He had offered
eight first-round picks. That's insane.
I think that was Bosch's team.
I don't think so. I don't think it was Bosch.
Oh, yeah, Bosch.
Was it Bosch? Was it Riley?
Oh, yeah, it could have been Riley. It was Riley. Yep.
Riley Bymaster.
Yep.
Because he's doing something similar in DTC. But he had really nothing. He was down to the bare bones from a starting quarterback perspective, and it's a super flex league. And he offered me, I believe it was three first-round picks, I think two mids and a late for Carson Wentz. Is that correct, Russ?
Sounds about right.
And let me think about it. And then the next day, he revoked it because of Carson Wentz's back.
Well, we knew there was a back issue. I thought it was just back spasms like it was first reported, but then it turns out it was a broken vertebrae. Mm. And I'm like, maybe I'll see if this dude's spine heals before I go and spend three firsts on him.
Valid.
Which I understand. I just sent him a message and like, hey, Russ, are we in the business of revoking trades? Or is that how we do things?
And at the time, I completely admitted that I am wussing out real bad on this.
No, and I get it. I mean, something factual, tangible has changed in the situation, and he revoked the trade, and it didn't really bother me that much. But I had to give him crap for it.
Oh, so I got to say, I plugged it in the Dynasty Trade Calculator, and it's 43-39, so a relatively fair trade, slightly advantages the picks. So even after Carson Wentz's details of his injury has come out, so
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a fair. It was close. That's why I had to think about it. The team that I took over for you, Hurley, was kind of in like a quasi rebuild. So, and I wanted to acquire some picks because we don't necessarily have any in that league, or you didn't leave me with any. How about that? That's a better way to put it. You left me with no picks.
I think I had a 2020 fourth.
And I think you had a 2019 second as well.
Oh, yep. There you go. That's right. I traded Jared Cook for a 2019 second before I left.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for doing that for us.
Yeah. Pretty good trade, actually.
Yeah. It's tight end premium. That's fine. It's fine. But I kind of wanted to break up some of the big pieces because it's like Gurley and Wentz and Rodgers, T.Y. Hilton, Allen Robinson. That's kind of the core, and Jordan Howard as well. So I wanted to break all the pieces up and then just kind of restart, kind of rebuild a foundation. So it would have been nice to get the three firsts. Like I said, I think it's a fair trade in the Superflex League, but I have no issue, you know, going another direction with Carson Wentz. Not like it's a bad piece to build around.
And you had the depth at quarterback. I think that there's like Aaron Rodgers and Carr and Flacco. Carr didn't quite have the season I was expecting from him, but
Yep, and neither did Flacco. But yeah, there's definitely some stuff there. But a trade revoking isn't always in bad taste in situations
unless it's
like
an
this.
Instant revoke. Then it's like, oh, what are you doing, man?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. But there's something changed in his situation, and somebody revoked it. That's totally fine.
Yeah, speaking of not having the season that I thought he'd have, Carson Wentz was a little bit down compared to what I thought he'd be at, too. But that's actually a pretty good segue into our first topic, Izzy. So we want to kind of wrap up the season. We can talk about guys that didn't perform well, guys that performed a little bit better, whatever you want to go. This is going to be kind of like a little bit of a sandbox podcast for my return. So I'm going to start things off with Izzy. So Izzy, from a season wrap-up standpoint, I know this is a really, really wide-open question. What are some things that really stood out to you finishing off the fantasy and NFL regular season from a fantasy standpoint?
Honestly, this season, more than anything, and we noticed this at the end of the season, and I know a lot of people have been saying it, but running backs, I mean, really don't matter, right? They matter in fantasy, but they don't matter on rosters. You look at all these guys getting hurt, and look at CJ Anderson. He's passed since Gurley went down, right? Past couple weeks, he's been an RB1, put up 100 plus yards, and he was on the streets. Adrian Peterson got picked up when Geis got hurt. 1,000 yard season at age 33, going on 34, I believe. It's just 33 going on 34. We look at guys like Derrick Henry, who did absolutely nothing for the first 8 weeks, and Deion Lewis was kind of above him in snap share. Derrick Henry then takes over, and now he's going to probably hit 1,000 yards on the season. James Conner, you go from Bell to James Conner to Jalen Samuels. You plug them all in, and they all produce. At the end of the day, it is a replaceable position. We have to look at that even from a fantasy perspective. So when we're talking about draft pedigree, the running back position matters more than any, which is a reason why a lot of guys like, you know, like Chris Carson. I absolutely love Chris Carson. I think he's better than both of those running backs in his backfield. But if Chris Carson were to be suspended indefinitely, Mike Davis and Rashad Penny could do enough to put together a season that's very respectable. I mean, even Mike Davis wasn't too bad when he was getting touches. It's just Chris Carson's a little bit better than Mike Davis for that offense, so on and so forth. So I know we've kind of talked about this in the past, Hurley, where draft pedigree really matters. And I think the only position that it actually matters is running back. Wide receivers, it doesn't matter necessarily. If you're a productive wide receiver in the sixth round, you're not going to get replaced necessarily. But running backs, one injury and you are done. Like even Left Bell, we don't know. Pittsburgh definitely doesn't want him. We don't know where he's going to go. He's lost a lot of money, obviously. The landscape's completely changing. Kareem Hunt gone. You got Damian Williams, who's behind Spencer Ware, and now he's getting a contract in the next year. And we look at this and say, what do we do with Damian Williams? So I would say that's my biggest takeaway this year. It just kind of continues to solidify and put that stamp on saying these running backs that we have, if they don't have high draft pedigree, we gotta move them for players with high pedigree, or just cash out and just kind of restart with getting backups or rookies that are in second or third round territory.
Now, Izzy, some follow-up questions before we pass things over to Dynasty Outhouse. You mentioned Chris Carson and your love for him. Do you have any idea of how he finished the season?
Like as in today or total?
Total through week 17, so like the total regular season.
He finished the last three games were 100 yards plus. I know he missed a couple games. I'll say he finished right around 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Yep, 1,151 and 9. So like a pretty productive season on only 247 carries. And considering he wasn't really getting a heavy workload until a few games into the season. So that'll be an interesting situation to watch. I think you mentioned it once on Twitter that you'd be buying pretty heavily on Chris Carson if he didn't have a first round running back draft pick on the same team with him. Yeah. But wondering what you think about that Rashad Penny situation and what you think might pan out next year.
I find it comical when people when Rashad Penny breaks like a 25 yard run, like I can't wait until Penny gets the job over Chris Carson because he's better. And it's like it's Chris Carson significantly better than Rashad Penny. He's a little bit better than Mike. Or I would say he's better than Mike Davis, and Mike Davis is better than Penny. But I don't think that necessarily matters, though, Hurley. At the end of the day, these first round running backs will get a shot. So Chris Carson getting hurt, and if Rashad Penny steps into the lineup and plays relatively well, and Chris Carson's been banged up 2 years in a row, if he plays well enough for them to say, okay, we got a first round running back and he's kind of got the hot hand, then we have to deal with them splitting carries again. So right now is ideal time for Chris Carson. You probably got to shop him. You have to shop him. As much as I love him, you have to trade Chris Carson. Is there a chance that he is the primary back next year and he's getting 250 carries again? Absolutely. Is it foolproof and safe to assume that? Absolutely not. So I am absolutely concerned about Rashad Penny, not from a talent perspective, but from a draft pedigree perspective. So I'm, and Chris Carson's injury history. So I'm selling Chris Carson despite my deep love for him.
So Chris Carson in the trade calculator is coming in right around a 112 in a standard, like one quarterback league.
Okay.
So you're saying you're selling. Would you feel comfortable selling him for the 112, though? That seems like I probably would hold out for more.
Well, no, I look at buy and sell. Like, so the trade calculator, for those that don't know, it's a buy and sell window. So the 112 is the median of that. So you would be selling for, let's say, the 109, and you would be trying to buy for like the 203. And in between those two is the 112. So when you see a player being valued at X number, let's call it the 112, that is the midline between buy and sell. So you obviously want to buy for lower than the value, and you want to sell for higher. Would I sell for the 109? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably I would.
Oh, you're stuck on that one. That sucks.
I like him so much. I think he's so good, and he fits that offense really well. But you can't trust. I did the same thing with Thomas Rawls. He had a phenomenal season. I love the way he looked. He got hurt, never recovered from the leg injury, and he got replaced.
Yeah, but that was an injury thing, you know? Like, you know that the Seahawks traditionally will go with wherever the talent is, because the Russell Wilson, I mean, it doesn't really matter, like, how much they signed somebody for a contract or where they drafted him in the NFL draft. They'll just go wherever the talent is.
Yeah, but you really, I mean, Rashad Penny was a first-round pick, and they didn't draft him to be a kick returner.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't love Penny. I didn't love Penny coming out, but that first round equity means something. It just does. What do you think, Russ?
Well, I'm a Seahawks fan, so
ooh.
I'm also a huge Chris Carson fan. I flipped my lid when they drafted Penny. I thought it was such a waste. But the one, like you're saying, I do agree that draft pedigree matters in running backs, but I think your one example is the one place it doesn't really matter. They just gave Pete Carroll an extension, and he's the one guy that just does not care who was drafted where.
He's like a honey badger.
Oh, yeah, doesn't care. Yeah, gotcha. I got that one. I would be selling Carson, too, because I will sell any productive running back. I would be fine taking the 109, I think. If I have Chris Carson on a crappy team, I would probably take an early second player value for him. I don't think I would trade him straight for the pick itself. But if I can get another wide receiver that I think is worth around the 201, I would probably do that.
Yeah, off the top of your head, can you give me an example of a player like that?
I got the calc opened.
I mean, Christian Kirk is probably a little higher than that nowadays.
Yeah,
I play everything super flex, so that's where I think of. I know you guys went to 1QB.
So how about this? What about Marvin Jones?
I was about to get to that. If he wasn't 30 and coming off of a knee injury, I mean.
I've got them all pulled up. You want me to list them off? Give me a yes or no. We'll play like a yes or no game here. Like, what's the card game you play where you flip one over? It's high-low. Got it? So, like, I'm going to flip a card over. You guys are going to say yes or no. So, does it have to be wide receiver, Izzy? Is that what you're going for, or can I do other positions?
That's what Russ was saying.
Okay, so I'm just going to do everybody then. So, Antonio Callaway, Russ, yes or no?
Oof, that's tough. Honestly, yes.
So, Russ takes Antonio. Izzy, Antonio, or which one would you pick? Antonio or...
I love them both. I would try to get somebody other. I would say no, because I'd try to get somebody more surefire than Callaway. Great rookie season, relative to expectations, but I would try to get somebody a little bit better that's a little more proven.
Yeah, the All value right. is probably on the Carson side, but I like Callaway.
Back to Russ. Doug Baldwin, Russ.
Oh, yeah. Go Hawks. Yeah, I do it.
I suppose you got your Seattle right there. Is he Doug Baldwin?
No.
Okay. Izzy takes Chris Carson there. Russ, Golden Tate.
Right now, no. If we found out where he signs next year, and that's a good situation, probably.
Izzy, Golden Tate.
Not at the moment.
All right. This is going to be a name that we'll probably bring up a few times throughout the offseason, but starting with Russ, Hunter Henry. We'll do a few more here.
Premium, tight end premium, yes. No premium, no.
Izzy, Hunter Henry.
I'm actually going to say yes to this. And the reason for that is it's almost worth the shot that you find yourself, you know, a top half tight end one. And right now you're desperately looking for somebody to fill that void. And hopefully Hunter Henry can be that. And he's shown just enough in his couple seasons when he was healthy behind Gates to say that he's got the potential to do so. So I'm going to say Hunter Henry, a tentative yes.
All right, I'm going to keep naming people off until we get a yes from Russ. So Russ, Lamar Miller.
No. Ew.
No.
Izzy, Lamar Miller. Oh, wow. We got a... all right, next one. Eric Ebron, Russ.
Oh, man, I love Eric Ebron. That's a hard yes.
Okay, a hard yes. Izzy, Eric Ebron. I think it's a yes from you, too. Oh, it's a maybe. Ooh.
It is a maybe. I just don't know with Jack. I mean, I'll say yes, but I don't love it.
All right, last one. This is going to be the last one. This would be a little bit easier had it not been for the most recent injury news. Russ, Royce Freeman or Chris Carson?
I loved Royce Freeman before Philip Lindsay became a thing, but I think I'd go Royce Freeman.
There you go. Is it Royce Freeman? No. Chris Carson. No. Oh, wow. No, you go Chris Carson.
It's the same situation in a sense. I mean, they don't have huge draft pedigree. Well, they do. I mean, Carson Freeman was a
second or third. I can't remember anymore.
71st overall, so third round.
Third round, yeah.
Okay. So Royce Freeman, third rounder, Philip Lindsay undrafted. So it's kind of a flip there. But there's a huge difference between third round and first round. So for me, I don't think that Royce Freeman has enough of that draft pedigree to push Philip Lindsay out of the picture. So for me, I'd rather have Chris Carson and what I've seen from him. And me, I think Chris Carson has a better chance of holding onto the job long term than Royce Freeman does winning the job from Philip Lindsay.
So I think you might have been confusing pedigree with draft capital. So I think draft capital, you're probably right because it's an early third.
Yeah, same thing.
Pedigree, I'd be a little bit more confused on because I think he was pretty highly touted coming out of college. And who knows if he can recapture some of that glory, but it looks like he's not going to be able to have a chance to do that until next year. So,
with a new coaching staff, probably.
Yeah, there you go. Brand new coaching staff, maybe a new quarterback. I don't know if Case has done enough to keep the job. Who knows? That's a pretty good place to stop the follow-up questions, Izzy. That was all your segment. Wow. We're going to give Dynasty Outlaw, we're going to give Russ a chance to talk here. So, Russ, high level, what is some of the season wrap-up stuff, some of the recap things that you saw that stood out to you?
This year kind of sucked.
Yeah.
That's what stands out to me. injuries at the end of the season, I think, were the worst that I can remember. And, you know, it wasn't like running back apocalypse of, what was that, 2016, where every single running back got hurt. It was everyone. Every quarterbacks were getting hurt, wide receivers getting hurt. And no depth was safe. I mean, you limped into championships. You know, that's why Damian Williams was such a big deal, because if everyone had a healthy team, no one would be thinking of playing Damian Williams. But you had Todd Gurley, who wasn't playing, or Melvin Gordon, or James Conner. You know, I got screwed out of leagues because of Odell Beckham sitting out. It was a mess. So, I don't even know. What did I learn? Okay, that's a lie. I know what I learned. I used to be complete zero RB because, like you said, running backs don't super matter on their team, so you could find guys later. But I think now, because there wasn't as much top-level talent at running back in the league, but there is now. So I think you need one of those premier backs. I think it's harder to win without them. So instead of going probably 4 to 6 straight wide receivers, I will spend a top 2 to 3 round startup pick on a running back these days.
Man, Hurley, if you remember on the pod, we were talking about this last offseason. You know, I can't remember if it was you and I, pretty sure it was, but I was talking about how we need to shift gears in Dynasty to start focusing on running backs.
Yep.
Because that seemed to be the way the league was going with all these just elite type running backs. And I don't think that's necessarily wavered. They've gotten hurt. I think you can make the case to say, well, now you should probably handcuff those elite running backs based on what has happened this year. So I guess we can talk about handcuffs here in a second, but Hurley, what was your thought?
I was going to follow up. Speaking of running back handcuffs, it's kind of a perfect segue. I was going to ask Russ a follow-up question. Russ, you mentioned Damian Williams on how he kind of came in, and Izzy, I think you mentioned that a little bit earlier too. It didn't really matter who it was behind some of these lines. They just seemed to perform. Izzy, you talked about the Pittsburgh backfield, but Russ, Damian Williams, he just got that contract. I think that might be the only piece of news that we actually had in the last couple of weeks since the DTC podcast last recorded that we probably haven't covered. Not that it's necessarily worthy of being covered, but what do you think this contract means for Damian Williams? It's almost like the Chiefs are investing in him for going forward.
I mean, they gave Spencer Ware and Charkhandrick West, I think, the exact same contract and then drafted Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
So to me, this contract means absolutely nothing. It just means they don't want him walking right now and that they have learned that injuries are going to happen to their running backs. So, I mean, it's a smart move for them. Damian Williams has been bad for his career. Like, I mean, running backs have done well in Miami, but he did not.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I have zero shares of him because I didn't want to waste the fab or just, you know, because I needed it for CJ Anderson, of course, because that's that was a thing. It helps his value. If you have him and you want to sell him, you can sell him a lot easier now because you could more easily push the narrative that he is a part of that offense.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. And if I did have a share, I'd be selling the crap out of it.
I agree. And the burning dynasty question is going to be this entire offseason. I feel like we're going to see it all over articles and all over social media. Is do you believe that the Kansas City Chiefs will once again draft a running back in the 2019 NFL draft, even though it's kind of a weak draft class?
Probably somewhere. I don't know if they're going to, what are they, trade up in the second round for Hunt or something like that. I don't think they're going to pull something like that again. But
Trade up for Harris? What do you think, Izzy?
No, I don't think so. I think they traded up to get Kareem Hunt in the third round. And then the news breaking of the video breaking, and they just outright got rid of him.
Oh, I was like, holy Toledo.
You don't, yeah, nice. Good reference. I see what you did there. Like I said on Twitter, if it was Patrick Mahomes, they're not cutting Patrick Mahomes. They're just not. So no. It's Kareem Hunt on a $750,000 salary on a team that you're trying to contend. So all these cheap contracts with great, you know, if you can get a great player on a rookie contract like this, I mean, it's basically stealing. You're stealing production. And for them to just not even go through the like any sort of waiting period, they just dumped him outright, which shows you how they feel about running backs in general, how the league feels about running backs. If the running back isn't the best off the field, they're just going to get rid of him. It's not worth the PR headache. If it was Patrick Mahomes, they would not get rid of him and they would just deal with it. So do I think they're going to draft somebody? I don't know. I don't think it even matters.
They're losing Ware, so I think they will just because they need the depth, but who knows if it's going to be a prime candidate. Yeah.
They could pay somebody cheap. I mean, we Doug Martin got picked up off the streets basically in the offseason, and he took over the role for Marshawn Lynch when Marshawn Lynch got hurt, and he put up 700 and change in the season.
Yeah, the Chiefs historically done that? I just don't feel like that's an Andy Reid move. I think he's going to get really cheap draft running backs and make them into something.
Yeah, that could be.
And then wait for him to get suspended.
That could be. But now, like you said, you're going in the offseason with Damian Williams, who's shown that he's done okay. And before the injury to Ware, right, we expected Ware to be the guy. And then Kareem Hunt came from the third round and he took the job. So for me personally, when it comes to the Chiefs and Damian Williams and all that, I'm just going to take whoever's cheapest in the backfield and just wait for an injury.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the Chiefs are the mid-2000s Denver Broncos, where it didn't really matter what running back was back there, you know?
It's like that for a lot of teams. I mean, a lot of good offenses, you can interchange these running backs.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's see. Russ, you got anything, any last notes on your season recap? I think you're kind of wrapping it up pretty good there.
No, that's really about it. Though I do want to say also, with your Hunter Henry take, I kind of agree at this point that tight ends are such a dumpster fire that if you could latch on to a top, what you think is a top five guy, it's worth it.
There you go. Russ has had 5 minutes to think about it, and he's on board with the Hunter Henry. Maybe we should just kind of go into that really quickly. So he was one of the ones that I listed off, and Russ, just really quickly, we've got Hunter Henry in the trade calculator as a 7.6, which is kind of like that between 112 and 201. It's kind of like the buy and sell line. Would you be buying at that price, do you think, just to kind of maybe take that chance that he has that high ceiling that we're all hoping for?
I would.
Yeah. So we would all trade like that 201 or 112 for Hunter Henry. I agree. I think he's a great investment. His value is only going to increase as his health kind of gets announced, because it hasn't really spiked back up to where it was 2018 preseason or before his injury. So I think it's a great investment. Izzy, you probably agree, right?
Yeah, I think it is. But it's all with Hunter Henry, we're projecting forward a tight end one. Like he hasn't put together tight end one. I think in his rookie season, he had eight or nine touchdowns, which kind of
eight touchdowns with like 16 yards.
So he had his eight touchdowns, and that kind of blew things up. And then last year we expected in 2017 for him to take that next step, and Gates still stuck around, and they didn't give Hunter Henry the full snap share, and he was kind of a letdown, I would say, overall. 2018, we're saying, okay, well, now he's going to take over and be the guy, and then he tears his ACL. So we kind of forget that 2017 was kind of a letdown for Hunter Henry. He disappointed. Yeah. So the injury almost kind of gives him this, well, he was going to break out, he just didn't. So we're going to now wait for the breakout in 2019. So we'll pay, you know, the mid to late first for him. Is it worth it? Yes. I guarantee we see people paying more than that just because they expect him to be this elite player, which isn't guaranteed. I like the idea of taking the shot at it, but there's a lot to be seen from him.
And now he's got to contend with a fully developed Mike Williams all of a sudden. That's not something that he had going into this season.
That's fair.
So that's kind of interesting too. So one of my takeaways with the season was I think, Izzy, was it last year that we talked about having like a calendar where you should do certain things during the, you know, certain times of year, like around November, October, November, I would evaluate my teams and decide whether or not I was going to be going for a playoff run or rebuilding for next year. So I wanted to get better at doing that kind of stuff. And one of the players that I had targeted for like rebuilding teams was Hunter Henry. And I had a whole list I kind of want to talk to you guys about to see what you think about. So would you guys be, I mean, now that trade season is kind of back open again, dynasty season's wrapped up, fantasy season's wrapped up, so trades are usually back open for a lot of active leagues. I would be targeting Hunter Henry for the right price. Would you guys be targeting like Darius Geis now that there's kind of been some more information? I know that you've probably covered on the podcast in the past, but I want to start with Russ. Would you be targeting Darius Geis knowing that his value is still kind of a little bit down because he hasn't played any snaps, and he's got this this looming injury, like multiple surgeries, infection issues? Are you targeting him or no?
I am, yeah. Especially if all of that news is lowering his price for people.
Yeah.
Because the player he can be, I'm all in on that. Because especially if I can trade a draft pick for him, especially in this draft where there are no running backs that are anywhere near what Darius Geis can be.
Yeah.
I would easily sell it early first for Darius Geis right now.
Yeah, Izzy, I'm sure you guys have covered it on a podcast in the past year, but Geis is still targeted for me. I'm not sure about what you're doing.
God, yes. I love Geis. I love my wife, but I also love Geis.
I love Geis. So I think we don't have to go too deep into that one since it's kind of well documented on previous shows, but I want to keep going around the horn here. Another one that I had targeted, actually one guy that I acquired in the DTC members league, Le'Veon Bell. Wondering, Russ, what are you doing with Le'Veon Bell? Are you targeting him, somebody you're staying away from? What are you doing?
No, I guess I'm staying away. I have no shares and I'm not really going out of my way. And if you are getting offers for Le'Veon Bell to come to your team, people are going to want a stud back, and I'm not willing to give up a stud for Le'Veon Bell right now, or even like Le'Veon Bell plus. I just, if I can, again, it's the same thing with like Golden Tate. If I knew where he was, like where he was going to play, if I had seen, man, like he was posting workout videos for like a year and a half, and then all of a sudden now he stopped. Like if I could see the dude doesn't have a beer belly now or something, I'd feel a little better about it also.
Well, I think I saw a six pack on his most recent rap video, but that could have been.
I was about to say, I haven't seen the recent rap video, so I don't know.
Izzy, what are you doing with Le'Veon Bell? And actually, I'm going to pull up my trade while you're talking, Izzy, just so I can see what you guys would do. Izzy, what are you doing with Le'Veon?
It all depends on the league for him. He's very polarizing. I bet in some leagues you'll see him go for dirt cheap, and some leagues somebody's going to be holding on to see where he goes. The question I was going to follow up, which I think is a better look at ranges for him. What's an appropriate range for him? So between Leonard Fournette, Le'Veon Bell, and Darius Geis, where do you rank those three in terms of who you'd rather have, 1 through 3?
Fournette's made it a little bit more tricky. Gosh, they're just like dead even. Actually, I do have the calculator open, so I'm going to not cheat here. But Fournette, 26.1. Le'Veon Bell, 25.1.
What's Geis?
Somehow he's lower, 21.7.
Okay.
I'd probably say I would do Le'Veon, Geis, Fournette. That would be my order. What about you?
I think I'd go Geis, Le'Veon, Fournette.
And I'd go Geis.
Come on, just make it a Fournette. 3 for 3.
I'll go Fournette, Bell.
There you go.
Okay, well, each of us have a different order. That's awesome. we're very helpful to our listeners.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, Fournette to me is, the injuries are a concern. I'm not too concerned about the production, because that offense has just been terrible. Mm-hmm. The injuries is what really kind of gets me a little concerned.
Well, that's why I put him at the bottom, because we're right now assuming Bell is getting back on the field, and we're assuming Fournette can get on the field.
Yeah, that's true.
So when they're both on,
we're assuming guys too,
they both get fantasy points. They get it different ways, but they still both will get fantasy points. It's just, who do you think is more likely to get on and stay on?
Well, yeah, and we're assuming with all of these players. I mean, they all have question marks. I mean, Bell sat out an entire year at this point now,
yeah,
in his prime, and we've seen that the backs behind him. I mean, Connor, if you look at the advanced metrics, has actually been more productive for Pittsburgh than Bell has. And so, how good is Bell? I think he's great, but how good is Bell, and how good is he going to be in his next destination after getting a fat contract while being off for a year?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a risk too steep for me to be paying that type of premium, because the thing that we do know is Geis is coming back, and Fournette will be on a field next year on still a rookie contract.
Yeah, and I guess I like Bell a little bit more than you guys, because I do remember what his ceiling was like, and I realize it's in the Pittsburgh offense, and that might not happen again next year, but he's currently at 25, and just before his holdout, he was in the 40s. So we know that he has a ceiling of being valued in the 40s, and I just hope that some of that value could rebound in the offseason. And I would definitely be looking to flip him. He's not somebody I want to hold on to. So,
what team him going to do you think would get him back up that high, though?
It's hard to think, because there's a few vacancies that could be open, but the running back class from the last couple of years have really filled in a lot of gaps, so it's difficult to say. But what teams?
Texans and Chiefs is probably about it.
Yeah,
and
Eagles.
Oh, if he goes to the Chiefs.
The Eagles don't have the money for him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe not.
The Colts do.
I'm just thinking running back vacancies. Colts, yeah.
I think they were saying Indy. I think he wants to go to Indy, but I don't think they should. That would be a waste.
They should not.
Yeah, Colts like the Jet.
I think the Jets will probably be the most likely to pay him what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bills, maybe. Do you think McCoy stays there?
Again, shouldn't.
Yeah. No, I don't think the Bills go out and spend on Bell.
Yeah, they're not really in the position to do that yet. Yeah, that's difficult. If the Eagles had money, I would definitely say Eagles, but man, that's going to be tricky to watch.
Yeah. I mean, do the 49ers take a shot at him? I mean,
I was literally just thinking that.
Yeah. Wow.
I
mean, okay.
I don't know. I wouldn't if I was any of these teams. I wouldn't want to pay him what he's looking for, considering everything.
Izzy, that's a good point, though, to answer Russ's question. What team would it take for, you know, for that to happen, for the value to restore? I think the 49ers is probably one of the better cases there.
One of the better Texans, realistic ones. Yeah, and I can see the Texans, too.
Yeah, right? I could see Texans, yep. So those would be a couple of good ones, and they'd be willing to, they're contenders, so.
Yep.
I mean, you guys don't believe in Deontay Foreman, I'm guessing?
I mean, he's no Le'Veon Bell, but I do like him.
Yeah.
Running back and Achilles, no thanks. I'm out.
Especially big running back. You're like throwing down 260 on that foot every time he takes a step. Oof.
Yeah. I don't trust it. I just don't trust it long term. I don't know.
Fair enough.
But yeah. He scored a touchdown. Foreman scored a touchdown
last week.
Oh, last week. Did he play this week?
Don't even remember.
I don't think he even played this week.
hasn't been that long, and I forgot everything.
Not even important
I don't even know if he was active. But yeah.
There you go. Well, I think that's a pretty good spot to stop the season wrap up. Let's move into the next segment of the podcast. We're going to start with Russ. Russ, I want you to tell me a little bit about what Izzy was saying, some successes and failures of your season. What worked? What were some guys that you had a feeling about that panned out? Other guys that didn't pan out? Go through some of those successes and failures. And for Izzy and I, I'm going to change it up a little bit because I feel like it's a good time to do this. So, Russ, go ahead.
All right, cool. Well, my first one is my favorite. Before the season started, I sent out a tweet, which was mostly a joke, saying that Eric Ebron is the new Zach Ertz. And it was real. I mean, I've always liked Eric Ebron. It was really just a joke because Ebron and Frank Reich. But man, I got so much crap on Twitter about it that I just sort of dug my heels in and I became like the Eric Ebron fan. And I don't care if the dude gets zero targets, he'll find a way to run in and throw a touchdown. So I will take a victory lap every week that Eric Ebron does anything. So that was absolutely my favorite call.
It's kind of funny how that works, isn't it? It's like you don't necessarily back a person, but you get pushed into backing them by like a crowd. It's kind of hilarious how that works out sometimes.
Yeah, it's exactly how it happens. Man, how many wrong calls did I have?
Exactly.
The Titans offense was a big one. I was very big into Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's just pulling the same thing again. We're just where I think I got out, they pull me back in and doing well. But I'm not falling for it again.
Got
it. I'm done.
Dumb and dumber.
And then, yep, later on at night, you had a horse's head in your bed with you, right?
Yeah, no, it's, don't talk about my wife like that.
Sorry, Sally. I don't know your wife's name.
Sarah. His wife's name's Sarah.
It is now.
Samsonite.
Wait till he Mariota calls her Sarah.
I got
in
very
bed
wrong. Very, very in on Mariota. And I mean, maybe if he was healthy the entire season, we knew the beginning was going to be rough with
his
schedule.
He's bad, Russ. Just get over it. He's bad.
I think I'm going to cling to the health thing and not admit that he's bad. Okay. My biggest, a little bit emotional thing was anytime anyone talked about startup 101s, I always hashtag always Odell. And it is not Odell at all anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's more like Nodell.
Nice. Love it. He's not even my first wide receiver anymore, no less my first draft pick, which to me, it's weird that it's a running back these days. I'm still girly over Saquon.
He's starting to fall out of the top 10, right? Like, he's really starting to fall.
He won't
fall. I'm saying 7-8.
6 or 8 in the...
Yeah.
ADP for December, and he's gonna keep falling because he's hurt and it's all recency bias, but now I definitely have Hopkins above him now and Michael Thomas probably also.
Davante Adams.
I was about to say Davante Adams is getting real close,
and that's just a couple of receivers, and then you got all these running backs that are definitely ahead of him. Saquon, Gurley. So
yeah, them two are definitely above him, probably Zeke also at this point.
Yeah, so I mean he's really starting to push to the bottom of the top 10, so that's kind of wild.
Yeah, I mean, lesser guys, I was big on McKinnon, like you said before, but that went horribly very early. The day after I used him as a keeper in one of my keeper leagues is when he tore his ACL, so that was a nice waste of a 10th round pick.
There you go. Those are a good couple. Maybe we'll swing back to you in case you can think of some more, but Izzy, the way that I'm going to spin it for you and I'm going to start with you. So the very first week of the season, we had think we had Fantasy Mansion actually come on for the podcast. Matt Kelly. He joined us for the Bold Predictions pods of 2018. And guess what? I took notes before week one so we could actually recap when the season ended. So this is a perfect opportunity to recap our bold predictions to see which ones we had as successes and which one we had as failures. Izzy, one of yours, and I wanted to say this right away because of what Russ was saying. Eric Ebron, your bold prediction was Eric Ebron would be a top 10 tight end at the season's end.
Yeah.
And he finished as, like, what, the tight end 4 or something like that, right?
I think, yeah, it's got to be behind Kittle, Ertz, and Kelsey.
Let me.
He was 3 for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I think Kittle's late explosion.
I think Kittle had a pretty good end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eric Ebron was a tight end 4 with 212 points, averaged 14 a game. Well, that's pretty impressive. So, Izzy, you nailed that one. And then, Izzy, you
can
said.
Can we end there?
What's that?
Can we just stop there? Are we good? Or are you going to keep going?
You know, you're close on one of these, so we'll keep going. Okay. We'll do a bad one, and we'll finish off with a kind of okay one.
Okay.
Kenny Stills will finish as a top 15 wide receiver.
I was with you on that one.
God dang it, Kenny. Kenneth, get it together, buddy.
They killed Kenny, safe to say.
How?
You bastards.
How?
You
how does he,
bastards.
He gets a bazillion targets, exits Miami, and all of a sudden nobody in the offense gets any target. Like, nobody got targets. It wasn't just a Kenny Stills problem. It was nobody got targets.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was a Brock Osweiler issue for a few weeks.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
And just to give some real specific context, he finished as the wide receiver 49. So
yeah, wasn't he? Yeah, which is crazy. Finishes a wide receiver 2 and 3 with Landry.
Yep.
And then Landry leaves, and he gets 57 targets, which, by the way, is the second lowest target that he's gotten. His actually worst was his rookie season when he only started 10 games. He had 50. He started 14. Started 14 this season, and he got 57 targets.
And that was with New Orleans, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah. So he did that. Albert Wilson got hurt. Amendola is Amendola. You got Devontae Parker, who doesn't play. Landry gone. And the offense, for some reason, stops utilizing Kenny Stills.
Yeah, they started. Didn't they start to use the running back out of the backfield a lot more than they traditionally have? Is that like something that Gase has traditionally done? It is, isn't it?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that. But Gase was there last year.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
He had 105 targets.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
His catch rate was up this year. I mean, if you look at his catch rate between this year and the last handful of years, this year has been the best. His yards per reception was higher than last year. It just his volume was lower.
Yeah.
He got half the volume that he did last year with Landry being gone.
And Parker still not playing most of the season.
Right. Yeah. That's weird, but that's sad. Pour one out. Sorry, Kenneth.
Okay, Izzy. The last one is, like I said, it's kind of good. You said that Derrick Henry would finish the season as a running back 1, and he actually finished the season as the running back 16, so you were very close. That was a call. Like, if he had a couple more games, like, if he had broken out like maybe week 10, week 9 instead of week 12 or whatever it was, he may have had enough time to continue on because it was week 14 his breakout was. Give him a couple extra weeks, he might have done it.
He must have finished, a couple points per week behind 12?
Yep, you got it. So he averaged 13.7 per game and 12 was Philip Lindsay. Actually, if you want to do average, Philip Lindsay was 12 at 15.6. So it would have been 3 points, but...
Mm.
There was a big drop between 12, between 13 and 14, but yeah.
So how many points behind 12 per game?
You want to go average? Because I was going by total points.
Oh, what was the total points?
Total points, he was, that's when he was the running back 16. He averaged 13.6, but he was 204 points in the season, which coincidentally, Chris Carson was 206 right ahead of him. So it would have been 30 points.
Yeah,
so yeah, 33 points out of number 12, so not bad.
A couple points a week. That's all I needed, Derek, to make that come true, but it's okay.
And he had 57, 35, and 16 to finish out the fantasy regular season, so that's nothing to be upset about at all.
No, depending on the league format.
He went and totally redeemed himself, we could say.
Yeah, right. Yeah, monster.
There you go. All right, and here's mine. I predicted that Cooks would outperform his redraft ADP, which was at 49 preseason, and he'll lift his dynasty value as being drafted at 35 ADP. I was predicting 20s or higher, and I was predicting 115 targets. So that was I got really specific with
that. Say that part again.
I predicted 115 targets, and I predicted he would finish the season in the 20s for ADP, dynasty ADP.
And what is he at?
So I'm going to look at his stats here first. So he finished as the wide receiver 15, so he outperformed his redraft ADP. So that's a check. Let's see. He had 108 targets. I guess 115. Shit. A little off on that one. Sorry, guys. And then I'm totally fired.
Here, I'll talk about another one of my hits because I just remembered who I was very excited about. Austin Eckler. I was driving the Austin Eckler bandwagon coming into this season. I was calling him this year's Duke Johnson. And yeah. While getting hurt at the end didn't really help all of that. But up until now, I thought he was doing pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, that's a good call. He was still, I mean, you could use him as RB2. I think he put up RB2 numbers when he was healthy. So
yeah, he did. Yeah. And he was my most owned player coming into the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Cooks finished out the season being drafted at number 26. So I think I get that one too. So here's one that's not so good. Well, I guess it's not too bad either. I predicted that Amari Cooper would finish the season as a top 8 wide receiver. How did I do on that one? I think I kind of got lucky on that one though, you know?
Yeah, but
I said top 3 if it makes you feel any better.
There you go.
Oh, speaking of that, I said Davante Adams top 3, and I think he finished 1, even with the injury.
Yep.
So I did not get that one. Let's see. He had just a couple of really dud games that didn't help him out in Oakland. I think he's going like every other for a while there, but he finished as the wide receiver 18, so I was a little bit off on that one. But he came close to getting up there. He was 234 points. He averaged 16.7 per game, which was really respectable. That 59-point game really helped his average a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
So that one was a miss. One of them is still TBD. I predict that Rosen will be a top 12 dynasty quarterback at this time next year. I don't think that's going to happen, though. He didn't have as good of a season as I had hoped. I'm hoping he'll be like Jared Goff 2.0, so he'll be the 2017 Jared Goff. And if you remember, like last year, Goff wasn't like elite yet, you know? So I'm kind of hoping Rosen takes that kind of a step if they get that coaching staff figured out and that offensive line.
They got to get it going.
And that was it for our bold prediction. So I guess we didn't do too bad, right?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. I mean, there's a lot of fringe calls that we made that were pretty good. I know the one that... Did you mention the Flacco one?
Flacco. I had a bet with Vach Lombardi that Flacco would last beyond week 6 as a starter. Which one? What are you thinking?
No, I think that he was like your big buy.
He was, yeah, he was in Superflex leagues, and I think I might have just discounted that one because of injury, but yeah.
Fair. Out of curiosity, guys, by the way, Matt Ryan had a sneaky good season, like quietly had a really good season.
QB3.
Which is funny, in 2016 he finished as a QB3, I want to say, or QB2, and then had a dud last year, and he's back. So interestingly enough. But who are your for sure sells and who are your for sure buys? Just give me 2 each.
I love it. I'll let Russ start, and this is where we'll close off the podcast with a couple of buys and sells here. So Russ, go ahead. You said sells to start with, Izzy?
Whichever one you guys want to start with.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll start with sells, and we kind of talked about it a little bit. I would sell, I mean, if I could sell Derrick Henry right now, I have actually. Yeah. Can't help it. I'm done. I'm off. Train. Gone. If I had any Christian McCaffrey shares, I would probably sell him right now.
What are you doing?
We're
talking about sells.
No one has ever repeated as the running back one in the past how many years? And Ron Rivera already came out saying that he wants to reduce his touches. DJ Moore is going to get better. Curtis Samuel is going to get better. Ian Thomas will use his gigantic hands to actually catch a ball soon. I just think that offense is going to get more spread out. I think that's what they want to do. And I think this is the highest his value will ever be. I mean, he was the running back one. I sell productive running backs. It's just what I do because their value will never really stay unless you're Saquon Barkley.
That's the one exception.
I think you're being disrespectful. It's because he's white, Russ. I get it.
It's true. I'm one of them self-hating white people.
Okay, Izzy, maybe I'll do one of mine. I don't want to do this because I'm kind of like on the fence about this, but
well, now you have to.
Yeah, now I kind of have to. I might be selling Stephon Diggs.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
And the reason why is because this is the first time that he's actually strung together like a lot of games, and he's finally got that 1,000-yard season under his belt after today's games. We're recording on a Sunday. I think I had a bet with a friend, Izzy, in a group text message, and it was just about what Stephon Diggs would finish as. And he finished really good. Like, he ended up with 102 catches, 1,021 yards, and 9 touchdowns. I don't know that he could repeat that kind of season again next year. I don't know if he could repeat as healthy of a season again next year. And he's currently valued as like a 36.7 in the Dynasty Trade Calculator, which exceeds the 101. So it'd be like the 101 plus. If I can get even value for Stephon Diggs right now, I'd probably be selling because I can't imagine that happening again. I'm sorry. And it sucks because I'm a Vikings fan. And actually, I've come to like Stephon Diggs, but I'm selling.
I disagree with that.
Okay, you're allowed to disagree.
I've been a Diggs fan for a while.
He's good, man.
Yeah, I'm taking it the opposite way. I'm encouraged by him playing. I think it was 15 games. I'm taking that as a good sign. I think, I know Thielen is new to the world, but I mean, he's 29-ish. Like, he's 28 or 29. He has had back issues. He's not going to be around for nearly as long as Diggs is. I'm still all in on Diggs.
There you go. Izzy, what do you think? Who are you selling?
Mostly running backs. I am selling Philip Lindsay to the highest bidder. I think you kind of have to. I think he's one. Second, it's, and I wouldn't do this yet. I would wait for a new coaching staff, people to get excited again. But I think we got to sell David Johnson.
Yeah.
Sad.
I mean, now I get it. His value is. Is kind of shot, but I'm a little worried about him. And we have to remember too, he's now going to be 27, or he just turned 27, or so that's not a good number to be at.
Yeah, he just turned 27. Yep.
So once you get into 28, 29, your value, even if you are productive, your value goes to hell. Mm-hmm. So I would take the opportunity now. In going into the offseason, once they get hopefully a new head coach, maybe some draft pieces, maybe people are excited again, to then move David Johnson, even if you have to do plus to get like a Nick Chubb or a Joe Mixon or even a Melvin Gordon, or I would look at doing a James Conner type deal, and I would also move Connor, but I think Connor has more sex appeal to more owners. I think a lot of people just don't want David Johnson, but I think enough would want James Connor. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to cash out, because worst case scenario, he's 28 by this time next year and the offense hasn't gotten better. Best case scenario, the offense has gotten better and he puts together a top half RB1 season, but now he's 28 years old, going on 29, and his value is going to continue to deteriorate. Similar to what LeSean McCoy was hyper productive up until this season, but his value has slowly gone down regardless of how productive he's been. Mm-hmm. Last year he was pretty productive, and you couldn't move him in the offseason.
That's true. So David Johnson, let's all do one more sell, then we'll flip it to buys, and then we'll close this thing out. Russ, who do you got for another sell?
I mean, I've been trying to unload a share or two of Odell, I'm going to be honest, and it's really hurt. It's hurtful for me to even say it out loud. I've been trying to flip him I can transition you a bit for Juju, because I'm trying to buy him before he becomes the level of price that Odell is right now.
Yeah.
The little minor injuries are starting to pile up. I don't care about who the quarterback is. I would prefer for it not to be Eli. So I think if they draft someone, or, I mean, I was saying at the beginning of the season that Jameis would probably be an awesome fit in a Giants uniform, but it doesn't seem like that's happening now.
Yeah.
And I think anyone other than Eli is a step up. So even if it is Eli, I mean, that doesn't really matter for me. But, you know, his health is becoming a bit of an issue. That offense, I mean, I don't know if it's Shermer. I don't know what it is, but it looks ugly a lot. So yeah. If I can still get someone who believes in Odell like I used to, and if I can get, I mean, it's not necessarily just for Juju. I mean, man, Devontae, like you said, Devontae Adams, anyone around his age range. I mean, I even did trade Odell for Antonio Brown plus in during a playoff push.
There you go.
Which I'm going to gripe on every single podcast I'm on. I lost the championship by 0.39. If Doug Martin ran for 4 more yards on that last run, I would have won a championship.
Oh, all Doug's fault.
All Doug's fault. That's all I'm saying.
That sucks, man. They'll sting. Sting and burn.
Yeah, it's like I said, I'm going to complain about it every chance I'm given.
There you go. My last sell, I'm going to go a little bit deeper, and I'm going to say just because there's a pretty good opportunity coming up, Alshon Jeffrey. And he's old. He was difficult to sell during the season because Carson Wentz doesn't like him as much as footlong Foles. I don't know why I said that. Foles, I don't know how bad is Foles' ribs injury. Is he going to be out for a while? Because I know the Eagles are going to the playoffs, and I anticipate another big resurgence of Alshon Jeffrey because Nick Foles is throwing the ball to him, and he's just had some good games with him. He's building up some good momentum. And I think going to the offseason, people watching these playoff games, it actually happens where they're kind of they're enamored by some of these performances in the playoffs. So it becomes a little bit easier to buy or sell players based on their performances in the playoffs. So I'm going to try to ride the coattails of a great Alshon performance in the playoffs and move him for whatever I can. He's currently valued at a 14.0 in the calculator, which is like a mid first. If I can get something anywhere near that, I'll probably just bail out pretty quickly on that.
Same. Good call.
Izzy, who is your last sell?
I'm going to throw out a couple. I'm going to throw out one, even though I love him, Matt Breida. I think he's really good, but I the injuries is too much, and there's a lot of free agency stuff, so moving him now might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, because Le'Veon's going to the Niners, right?
That could be. I do love Breida, though. I think he's a really good player. The one, plug your earmuffs on this
Derrick
one.
Derrick Henry.
No.
Oh.
I'm going Tyreek. I'm selling.
Oh, again, you are adamant about trying to sell Tyreek, man.
I'm selling Tyreek. I am.
I think regression's finally going to hit after 2 years?
Well, I mean, last year, you figure, okay, 105 targets. Is he going to be able to replicate that? He puts up 130 targets this year, but we have to realize too, he put up 130. He did 82, 138, and 11. Okay, and actually probably more than that. Is that right? Did he play all 16 games this season?
I think so.
He went
out of a game or two, but I think he played everything.
Let's see. Yep, he played every game this season except for Week 12, which he was on a bye. So he didn't play Week 12.
Okay, so what did he put up this? So let me do the math on this. So let me see here.
You don't have to do math. I've got it in front of me. What do you want to know?
What did he put up this year?
This might be through 16 games. Maybe I should pull up his statistics on like Google or something, because I'm looking at MFL. So yep, it's 87 catches, 1479 for yards, and 12 receiving touchdowns.
Yes. Okay. So I'm selling at that. For a couple reasons. Mahomes just put up 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Wow.
Mahomes is great, but I don't expect 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns next year. Sammy Watkins has been hurt again for most of the season. They haven't really had a second wide receiver in that offense that stepped up. Kelsey's been great, and he had a monster season. Before this week, he hadn't scored a touchdown in the previous 4 games, so he was touchdownless, and he actually put up 13 yards, 46 yards, 74 yards. He did have one blow up at 139. So if you really look at since week 7, he's only had 400-yard games, which is actually a lot, but they're random. They're a lot of random blow ups that he has. I don't like the variance that he puts up. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I love Davante Adams because he's very consistent. But you look at his production, it's three or four monster games for the season, and then a couple really solid games, and then a handful of kind of, I don't want to say duds, but sub 10-point performances. And that's coming from a wide receiver one with a 5,000-yard quarterback with 50 touchdowns. You would expect with that sort of quarterback production and being the surefire wide receiver one in the offense that he would have substantially better consistency on a week-to-week basis. So I'm just selling the idea. Now he's climbing into the top 10 ADP. I'm selling that. I think he's a top 20 player.
Yeah, he's number 10, by the way, for December.
And that'll go up. High. And I think that'll go up. I think he's a top 24. I think he's a top 2-round player. But he is not a cornerstone first pick of a team, in my opinion. I'm not starting a team with Tyreek Hill. I'm just not doing it.
I can see that.
So I'm selling that. I'm selling the top 10 asset there. I think next year he comes back down to earth, similar to what he put up in 2017. I will say it right now. I will say that in 2019, Tyreek Hill, write this down somewhere, Hurley, he will have 70 to 75 receptions for 1,100 yards, and I'll say 6 touchdowns. I'll say 8 touchdowns. Let's go 8 touchdowns.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably low-end wide receiver one numbers.
Sure.
Yeah, and it would be a top 24-ish player, around the top 24-ish player.
But not top 10, yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's probably a low-end wide receiver one. So I think he'll be a top 36-type player. You got to assume Patrick Mahomes is going to put up closer to 4,500 yards, 4,600 yards, and maybe 42 touchdowns. How many quarterbacks have gone back-to-back 5,000-yard, 50-touchdown seasons or come close to that? Maybe Breeze on the yardage, but not the touchdowns?
I was going to say...
Well, if you want to get rid of touchdowns, Stafford probably threw for 5,000 yards for 18 seasons in a row.
There you go. Yeah. 18 seasons.
I think Manning put up the 50 and 50, or the 5,000 and 50.
I feel like Rodgers got close to that. I don't think he did 50 touchdowns.
Yeah, Favre maybe, probably.
No, but I definitely see what you're saying. Okay. 10's just way too high.
Yeah, so Peyton Manning's 5,477 yards passing and 55 touchdowns, which is absolutely insane. He followed it up, and that was at 37 years old, which is even crazier. He followed it up with 4,739 the following year. His second best season, even if you take away the 5,477 and 55, if you go to his next best year, the most he had was 49 touchdowns, so six off his high, and about 1,000 yards less, 4,500 passing yards. And that was in 2004 in his prime at age 28. So you got to assume the touchdowns come down to in the 42 range, and you got to assume he doesn't hit 5,000 yards. Maybe he does. It's close. Maybe he puts up close to that. But a lot of that's big plays that I think it's going to hurt Tyreek Hill. I don't know. Am I crazy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably.
Probably a little bit, yep. You might be one of few people who are actually actively selling him. I would assume you don't have any Tyreek Hill shares, though, so.
No, because I wasn't paying the top, 18 premium going into this year? Top 20 premium?
Yeah.
In hindsight, I didn't think that, I probably should have, but I didn't think that Mahomes would put up 5,050.
Yeah.
Shame on me. But yeah, you figure if this was a Davante Adams or a Michael Thomas or, you know, one of these Julio Jones, if their quarterback puts up 5,055, that they're going to be putting up 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, and the reason I know you don't have any Tyreek Hill is because nobody who actually owns Tyreek Hill is actively selling Tyreek Hill. So,
don't you think they should, though?
Well, now I'm about to. I'm going to try and go sell my one share and see what I can get for him.
Yeah, you recommended it, so maybe the tens of millions of people who listen to our show are going to actively sell him now. So,
well, that's why I got to try and do it before this. You post this, so
Oh, yeah. You got until Wednesday.
Well,
you're good.
Well, I mean, you did mention this with Christian McCaffrey. When was the last time, you know, somebody's repeated as the running, as the RB1, and in the past 16 years, it's never happened. But I don't know. So we can assume that Demaryius Thomas is worse than Tyreek. Demaryius Thomas's value was never top eight or top, which I think Tyreek will end up being top eight, top. Maybe he was in his prime. But when Manning had his 54 and 55, Demaryius Thomas put up 92, 14, 30, and 14. You know, that's big. Now, I will say, to go against what I just said.
By the way, really quick, January 2015 ADP, Demaryius Thomas was number five.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. Impressive. And this will go against my point, but I want to highlight it anyways. Because I think it's interesting. Just because I say something doesn't necessarily mean that it's correct. I mean, I've been wrong before. But in 2014, Demaryius Thomas, when Peyton Manning put up 4,739, he put up 111 receptions, 1,600 yards, and 11 touchdowns. So we got 40 extra targets in Peyton Manning's worst season.
Well, isn't it also Julius Thomas was like a non-factor that second year?
That could. Julius Thomas was healthy one year? Wow.
Just one.
Yeah, so maybe that's something to do with it, and maybe this will be the reverse where next year maybe Sammy Watkins isn't going to be healthy, but they bring somebody else in to be healthy.
Kelvin Benjamin, yep.
Yeah, there you go, KB.
I mean, he'll stay healthy probably, but
yeah, a healthy 250, right?
Yeah. So
Kelsey needs a backup.
Yeah, right. We just have to look at the odds of replicating both seasons. And this was a prime spot for Tyreek Hill. Everything kind of worked in his favor. Mahomes was an upgrade over Alex Smith. Sammy Watkins couldn't really stay healthy. And the offense was prolific and put up crazy stats. Can we expect that again next year? And if it doesn't happen, how does that affect Tyreek Hill's production?
There you go. Well, that rounds out the sells. Let's start off with some buys. I'm going to start with Russ. Russ, go ahead and list off your buys. Let's do it like a package. So if you got a group of buys, let's do like a quick hitting thing to wrap up the podcast here.
I mean, people have sort of caught on to the idea, but I still love buying people before they hit free agency. Tevin Coleman's, Tyrell Williams. I have so much Tyrell Williams. Please go to the Seahawks. I wanted the Seahawks to match his second round tender this year. I mean, that's, I'm trying to think of who else. And then there's people like Juju. And before this season, Michael Thomas was my guy that I was buying everywhere because I knew doesn't matter what his cost was, it's going to be more before the end of the season. So I think I want Juju right now because I think he's going to hit that first round ADP next year, by the end of next year.
There you go.
I think he's going to do it in this offseason.
Yep. Maybe in January ADP, yeah.
There's a good chance. He already beat AB, right?
Yeah, no kidding. AB would be a good sell candidate if you can get his value for him right now. My buys, I'm going to do a package. So I'm going to pull up the same tweet. Along the same lines as Russ, you like to buy guys that are kind of becoming free agents or maybe could potentially be cap casualties. That's a great strategy. I also employ that one. One of the ones I like to do is maybe not right now, but it's still kind of the window still open for these guys. Like I mentioned, Le'Veon Bell. I like to buy guys that are premium players who are either injured or not playing currently because people kind of like they're addicted to 2018 statistics and they look at that in their rankings and all that stuff's built in. It's factored. So you can kind of sneak some of these guys. So some of the ones I'm targeting, I'm looking at would be like a Devonta Freeman, a Will Fuller. We already talked about Hunter Henry. Superflex League, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a great target. People kind of forget what Jimmy Garoppolo was preseason before getting injured. He had a rough couple of games to start out, but I think he's a great candidate to purchase. And then maybe even like if you could find a very cheap Jerick McKinnon just in case he could find himself in a similar situation. I don't think it's very likely, but and then we rounded, I think we said Darius Geis too already, but those are my guys who are injured or not playing that would be great buys right now.
Nice.
Izzy, I think you get the last piece of the podcast here. So who are your buys? Give us a package deal.
Well, my top buy is Tyreek Hill. So in 2013, Demaryius Thomas with Peyton Manning had 92 receptions, 1,400 yards, and 14 touchdowns. The following year, even though Manning's stats went down, he had 111 receptions, 1,600 yards, and 11 touchdowns. I expect Tyreek Hill to put up similar production to Demaryius Thomas.
You're mispronouncing Kelvin Benjamin, yeah.
So the number one buy for my – I'll start with tight end, Chris Herndon. I think people should go out and buy Chris Herndon. Nobody really cares about him. It is what it is. He put up really solid statistics for a rookie in a not great spot. Him and Darnold do have a nice little chemistry going. He is a pretty solid athlete at the tight end position. And he's one of those move tight ends. So you can, I really think that he's going to take the leap next year. I thought the same thing with Ricky Seals-Jones for this year, because just a size, speed type player, but that whole offense is a dumpster fire. Maybe he becomes a buy next year or this offseason as well. So I'll say Herndon is my tight end buy. My running back buy is still Ronald Jones, because he's so cheap and he's got some potential, obviously being the pick that he's draft pick that he was in last year. You look at Peyton Barber, who I think is solid and I actually like him. But once again, you talk about draft capital, draft pedigree, whatever you want to say. Ronald Jones has it. He's also extremely young, one of the youngest, if not the youngest, running back coming out last year with Kerryon Johnson. I think both of them were the two youngest. So you got to give him a chance to develop as a player. So I like his price point. The wide receiver that I would buy, which I didn't love going into the season, outside of Tyrell Williams, since he took my number one wide receiver buy, which is Tyrell Williams, is actually Dede Westbrook. So do you guys know where Dede Westbrook finished the season?
I thought he did really great. I'm going to say, like, you mean statistically or as a wide receiver?
Or where he finished? What position?
Somewhere in the 20s.
I'm going to say, wide receiver, I'm going to say 19.
No, a little off.
I think it was like 26, right?
24.
That's close.
So he was a wide receiver too this year.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Last few weeks have been really good, even with what's his name, Kessler.
Yeah. Last 3 weeks, I mean, basically 21, 13, 12. If you're finishing as a top 24 receiver with that whole situation as a second year player, I'm good as for your third year. I mean, we could be looking at a nice Dede Westbrook third year breakout, and he's still likely going to be pretty cheap. A lot of question marks down at offense, and he hasn't shown a massive upside from a week to week basis. So I like Dede Westbrook as a buy. And of course, we have to end with the GOAT. Matt Stafford is the number one quarterback by.
He looks so bad. He just looks so bad right now.
He's so dysfunctionally bad. My daughter is.
Can you say bye, Matt Stafford?
Bye, Matt Stafford.
Good job.
Oh, that's so good.
See, she said it like she's saying goodbye to Matt Stafford.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with her, actually, then. Oh, bye, Matt Stafford.
No, yeah. You gotta go buy him.
nice job, Russ.
How dare you? Dare you, Lisa? So, did you guys happen to? I don't know if you guys saw my tweet earlier today, but Matt Stafford today had a lineup out there with him, with LeGarrette Blount, who went on undrafted. Zach Zenner went undrafted. Riddick was a 6th round pick. T.J. Jones a 6th round pick. Andy Jones undrafted. Brandon Powell undrafted. Chris Lacy undrafted. Toy Lolo, 4th round, Luke Wilson, 5th round, and Jerome Cunningham, undrafted. They did win 31-0, and he put up some pretty decent numbers. They stripped they stripped him of his security blanket, which is Golden Tate. Marvin Jones gets hurt. Kerryon Johnson gets hurt.
Ebron.
Their offensive line, he loses Ebron, another safety valve. Their offensive line started to struggle in the second half of the season. He took a crap ton of sacks. He's been a consistent QB, low-end QB1. Consistent low-end QB1. My daughter does not understand how important Matt Stafford is to me in my life. borderline more important than my daughter. But anyways,
let's say you should let her know where she got her middle name from.
Just kidding. You don't like that? Okay, you're more important. Anyways, QB1, low-end QB1, basically his entire career, you have to go out and buy Matt Stafford. Just please, just do it. Buy Matt Stafford.
Buy Matt Stafford.
Buy Matt Stafford.
Buy Matt Stafford. Night, Matt. That is a great way to wrap it up. Bye, Matt Stafford. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast this week. That was our buys and sells, wrapping it up right there. I'll be back again next week with Izzy and a brand new guest. Join us again for a lot more Dynasty Takes as we go through the offseason. We'll navigate you through the difficult, rough terrain of the Dynasty offseason and help you out to give you like a lighthouse on the shore, on your rocky shores. Follow us all on Twitter. We can be found on Twitter at Izzy. What's our Twitter? At underscore Nick Whalen, right?
Yeah, well, no longer. He's no part of the staff, so he's got to go. Maybe we pimp out the missionary now? At underscore FF missionary, right?
At underscore FF missionary, that's right. Make sure you do follow our special guest today. It is at Dynasty Outhouse. Thank you for joining us, Ross. We really appreciate that. Izzy Elkafoss, join us again next week. We love you guys. Bye.